You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
The New World Order.
Welcome to the podcast. Today is Friday, not yesterday. Friday the 27th. I should always double check this. So yesterday was not Friday, it was Thursday. Today is Friday. So I have to make a few corrections about that. I've had terrible brain fog since my last bout with COVID. I have brain fog anyway till about 11 a.m. But usually a couple cups of espresso usually clear that up. But it's not really working since my last bout of COVID. So I'm like, till like 4 in the afternoon, I can't think straight. Don't ask me to do any math. So just a couple corrections, including that one. Never seem to know what day of the week it is. The Hamas flag is not yellow, it's green. I misspoke yesterday because I was confused with the Fatah flag, which Fatah is the old PLO. What used to be the PLO, it's the Palestine Authority. But in Gaza, they had separate elections and they elected Hamas. But in the West Bank, they elected Fatah. And the yellow flag is their flag. There is a Hamas flag that is yellow. I think it's actually a Hezbollah flag. But Hamas is Sunni. They're an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. So I misspoke there as far as what the flags were. I just remember during the elections there were lots of yellow flags. I thought that was it. But some other corrections, I should say. A mechanic is a fixer. I said a mechanic was an assassin yesterday. A mechanic is a fixer, which often associated with assassinations. If you're a fixer, you eliminate problems or fix certain political trajectories like gun control. So you created incidents that would affect a political outcome. That's a fixer, that's a mechanic. But usually when they talk about mechanics, you talk about people doing wet work, which is up close and personal killing. So this guy in Maine seems like he's sheep dipped. He had military training and now it's going to be an unfolding manhunt. And we're going to talk a little bit about mass shooting manhunts from the past, going all the way back to 2002. But also, that was the DC sniper. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And also, I'm going to talk about the manhunt for California policeman Robert Dorn. Also in the news, leading in the news today, more culminating of World War III as the U.S. escalates violence as they bomb Syria for support Iran gave militias to attack the U.S. So I'm not really sure. You know, we wanted to have a war. We've been wanting to have war with Syria for some time. We were backing Islamic militants in the country. Hillary Clinton, when running for president in 2016, wanted a no-fly zone, which would put us at war with Russia, according to military experts. That's why people didn't vote for her. She was for TPP. She wanted war with Russia. So now we're at war with Russia, the U.S. We already have troops stationed in Syria, so if you didn't know we were at war with Syria, you know now. Also, the new House Speaker Mike Johnson vows to support Ukraine and Israel, is spending on both, but he wants to have them in separate spending packages, which is fine. I'm not against spending for Israel, but, you know, not Ukraine. So, but you should be able to vote separately on both those issues. Also, of course, Biden and the deep state in hot water as evidence surfaces that the FBI was aware of wrongdoing but protected Biden for years. That's really quite disturbing. All right, so let's get into it. All right, we're going to start off here with CNN. U.S. strikes two facilities linked to Iranian-backed militias in Syria following series of attacks on U.S. forces in the Middle East. Where in the Middle East? Well, in Iraq and Syria, but most of those militias were backed directly by the Shiite militias in Iraq, which are connected to Iran. So it wasn't the other way around, really, because the people battling the United States is the government of Syria, not militias in Syria. Militias in Syria usually are directed towards Israel and aren't even present, for the most part, in the eastern part of Syria, where American forces are stationed. They're usually attacked from Iraq by Shia militias there, which are backed directly by Iran. So none of this really makes sense, but we're certainly widening the war. And as I mentioned previously, the U.S. has wanted to go to war for regime change purposes in Syria for a long time. And as I explained also previously, that Syria is a closed nation state, which means they don't allow business to flow or any sort of tourist or commercial or just people coming in and out of the country freely, and their own citizens leaving and all this sorts of thing. It's very locked down, much like China, much to some degree, Russia, North Korea, and Iran are all closed states. And that's what the global deep state, the globalists, want to open these states. So to do that, they need regime change. And that doesn't mean just get rid of the leader, like the leader of Syria, but also the surrounding government cabal, the Alawite structure in Syria that protects the leader there. New York Post is also reporting manhunt for Maine massacre suspect Robert Card sparks alert at Canadian border as search history of Biden conspiracy theories emerge. Now, what are these conspiracy theories? Well, these were first reported by ABC News. Maine shooting live updates. Massive manhunt continues for alleged shooter as new details emerge. Now, Maine has been on effective lockdown. So if COVID doesn't work, you can always just have a mass shooting and everybody has to stay in their homes. So there are a lot of different triggers to limit your civil liberties. And it goes through latest headline, suspect left suicide note in home, says sources. I mean, we could look at this. I don't know what the suicide necessarily says. That's what I'm talking about. Suspect sister says he may have been looking for his ex. Law enforcement officials are reporting that. Realistically, though, you don't know that for sure. Apparently, we don't know if his ex-girlfriend is among the dead. That would make sense. That would at least, so they're trying to carve out a motive, and we have to look at the suicide note, but suspect has been behaving erratically this summer during Army service. Exhaustive search underway for suspected gunman. Well, if he's behaving erratically, that would definitely be understood, because if you're about to commit, if you're about to go on a mission, your sheep dip mission, you know, you might be a little nervous about it. I mean, you're a human being, right? I just want to pause here for a second to ask you to engage the channel. So don't forget to do that. Like, subscribe, share, leave a comment down below, and visit my other websites, libpop.org, learn about libertarian populism, and also rudysrevelation.com, where you can find the audio podcast. So, and then ABC News goes in about the victims, but I want to talk briefly about what they were saying about suspect consumed. Now, this is really important because the news media is tying this in, which either they're taking advantage of what happened here, obviously, to tie it to suspect consume conspiratorial content online. But when you read down into the article after the subhead, it's not conspiratorial. It's not conspiratorial content. I wish it were conspiratorial content, but it wasn't. Topics he engaged with on social media, but were not limited to, so they leave the door open, concerns about the financial crisis and stock market. Like, who wouldn't be concerned about that? Why is that conspiratorial? LGBTQ plus issues. And who wouldn't be concerned about that, especially in the schools? Gun rights. Well, he was a gun instructor. Why is there a conspiracy about that? Maybe a conspiracy about mass shootings. And commentary about Democratic public officials, including President Joe Biden. Oh, like he's corrupt? Now, this is the fact that it remains unknown whether any of this social media usage played a role in the suspect's decision to go on his rampage. If it was even this guy who went on a rampage, we don't know for sure. If you put mind control, now you want to talk about conspiratorial content, you want to put mind control on the table, you know, we as I visited yesterday, Aaron Alexis, where he was in this Navy Yard building a lot, and he might have went experiments on mind control at the Navy Yard, might have went awry, and he might have started shooting people, and so they made a cover story that he went there to fix a computer or a printer or whatever, and then, you know, somehow went into a Navy facility with a shotgun. I don't know how that happens or how that's allowed, or even get on the base with a loaded weapon. But my take on that is that he might very well have been training there, and then the training went awry. He did carve or scrawl on his weapon ELF, which is for extra low frequency. Or extreme low frequency, which is used in mind control because it's under the auditory envelope that you can hear, but those things apparently are carrier signals for information that they beam into your head. That's just, that's the theory. So that was a conspiratorial content, which really wasn't any. So they're linking a mass shooter, someone who engaged in extreme violence, against innocence, you know, because apparently it didn't just go there to shoot his girlfriend. If that were in case the motive, and we don't know that, or even if he had a girlfriend or anything, that's just what his sister said. You know, it's very sister quoted by a news organization, sort of, but they weren't at liberty to say where the interview took place, whatever. Or whether that was leaked by the police department in a leak where unnamed sources said, we don't know if any of this is true. So going back to the suspect left suicide note in home, a note was found inside suspect Robert Card's home earlier in the afternoon, is being described as a suicide note addressed to the suspect's son. Law enforcement sources with knowledge of the investigation said, they did not provide information that indicates a motive for the mass shooting. Of course, because none of these have motives. Alex Jones was speculating yesterday, again, as he usually does, that most of these people that they already have mental illness, which makes them ripe for mind control. But then these people that have mental illness are put on psychotropic drugs, which cause, it's one of the side effects, homicidal and suicidal ideation. If you don't know what ideation means, that means they get grandiose ideas of committing suicide or murder. But just because the guy left a note or had wrote on a piece of paper to his son, that doesn't necessarily indicate that it's a suicide note. Or who knows? Or maybe who knows the context of what this has done? And again, nothing. I'm not saying a crime didn't occur, but I don't see any evidence of a crime. Where are you, photojournalists? I don't see bullet holes. I don't see stretchers. I don't bloodstained stretchers. I don't see anything that was indicative that a crime was committed here. There was a shooting at a nightclub in California where there was live video, and the nightclub was supposed to be crowded. There was live video of the dance floor that recorded the gunshots, but it showed that the club was empty. So, like I said, I need to see indications of a crime because I doubt everything. I'm critical of everything, and everything is suspect at this point because you can't just go by what the media says. You know, if the media wants to report, report. You don't have to be gruesome about it. You don't have to show a corpse, but you could show a stretcher with you know, covers over the body, you know, and presumably if it's a white sheet, you know, it would be stained with blood unless it's a body bag, then show the friggin' body bag. Because I worked in journalism, and you make the editorial decision whether or not to publish such images, but those images should be taken. A photojournalist just sort of go, I'm not going to shoot that because it's, you know. So the Boston Herald reports thousands of Maine are still under lockdown order as hunt continues for Robert Card, Maine mass shooting suspect. So this is my problem, still under lockdown order. And as I said previously, what the hell does that mean? That means you can't leave your house? Says who? According to law? Because someone else committed a crime? And like I said, there's no evidence of a crime that I've seen. There are reports, but I haven't seen any, so they could report whatever. Oh my God, there's a release of a deadly disease. You've got to go stay in your house forever. Or there's a, you know, someone committed a crime, so you stay in your house forever. I mean, come on. So this guy, John Allen Muhammad, was the DC sniper, along with his protege, Lee Boyd Malvo. And this guy was, again, sheep dipped. He was in the armed services and then out of the armed services. And while he was, I believe still while he was in the armed services, he converted to Islam. And I have no problem with that. But the DC sniper rampage happened in 2002, right after 9/11. And so that's why a lot of people forget about it, because it was eclipsed by that. I can't get to the Washington Post here. 3 weeks of terror, how the 2002 DC sniper attacks unfolded, and it had a good timeline, but I can't access it here. DC sniper Lee Boyd Malvo must be resentenced, Maryland High Court says. Now, he was the protege of Muhammad. And I'm just going to read the headline here. Nearly two decades after the serial sniper spree that terrorized Washington, D.C. area and left 10 people dead, Maryland appeal court ruled that Lee Boyd Malvo, who was convicted of his role in the shootings, must be resentenced. Malvo was 17 years old when the crimes he committed on October 2002. He was sentenced to life without parole in both Maryland and Virginia. The Maryland Court of Appeals based its Friday ruling on the U.S. Supreme Court's guidance on juvenile offenders. Malvo's partner in the shootings, John Allen Muhammad, was executed, so they say, in November 2009 in Virginia for his part in the shootings. He was 41 at the time of the sniper attacks. So Lee Boyd Malvo had no military training. And basically, to give you a synopsis of what happened, they drilled a hole in the back of the trunk of their car they were using, and they would snipe out of the trunk of their car, and they would drive around seemingly random. But there was a targeted murder to start the whole things off. And it goes, on February 16, 2002, 21-year-old cashier Kenya Nicole Cook was shot and killed by Lee Malvo at the front door of her aunt's home. Oh, okay, this is the one. So this was, I thought it was the first shooting. It's actually the third. Paul LaRuffa, 55-year-old pizzeria owner, was shot six times at close range while locking up his Italian restaurant in Clinton, Maryland. LaRuffa survived the shooting. His laptop computer was found in Muhammad's car when Lee Malvo was arrested. So that's the problem, was, see, and this was in the New York, the Washington Post article, was the fact, and it lists all the other one, is that this guy was shot and survived because he was shot with a .22 caliber pistol, which is not very lethal, obviously, but he was shot multiple times. And his laptop and other things were stolen from his possession. Most of the other people were killed with a sniper rifle, an M16, I guess it was, out of the trunk of the car. It was a stolen Bushmaster. It was fitted with a Bushnell holographic weapon sight, a bipod, and 20-round magazine. Oh, 20-round. You know why? Because if you're on a bipod, a lot of times the 30-round is just too tall. So I just wanted to go into that. So that happened in 2002. New York City, Washington, D.C. was on lockdown during the whole time, and people were being terrorized for sure. And then there was some question if Muhammad was doing this, you know, on the behest of Islam. And it wasn't really sure. And it seemed he had a homosexual relationship with this young Jamaican-born man who was 17 at the time, Lee Boyd Malvo. And he trained him in killing. And so these two went on a killing spree and everything. But Muhammad, for sure, was mind-controlled, without a doubt. And he obviously used this young person at the time, which probably wasn't part of his mission. But it was, who knows? The two were semi-homeless, and so that's how that whole thing unfolded. I also want to include here ex-LAPD cop Christopher Dorner. Sorry, I said Robert Dorn. Robert Dorn was the police chief that was killed during the Black Lives Matter riots. The LA cop who was accused of going on a shooting spree was Christopher Dorner, apparently killed himself as cabin went up in flames. So the FBI cornered him in a cabin, and I think it was in Big Bear, and the FBI said that he shot himself. Unlikely. The FBI burned him out, and so he was either shot by the FBI or was burned up by the FBI. Christopher Dorner shootings, and this was, it goes into his early life. I didn't even see this. Dorner was a United States Navy Reserve officer. And as I said yesterday, the U.S. Navy is the pinnacle of the United States Armed Forces mind control programs. So he was another reservist commissioned in 2002. And then he went on he was terminated and supposedly went on a shooting spree, left a manifesto, series of revenge shootings. Dorner was purported. Dorner's killing spree began with a package stating his complaint sent to Anderson Cooper and arriving at CNN. Oh, the CIA. How interesting in that. After the first killings, his threat of his manifesto caused law enforcement to mount a widespread manhunt that spread from California, Nevada, to Mexico. Protection details. During the evening hours, 28-year-old Monica Kwan and her fiancé, Keith Lawrence, were shot dead in Lawrence's parked car while the Kia Optima outside their condominium complex. So Kwan was the daughter of Randall Kwan, the former LAPD captain who represented Dorner as 2008 dismissal hearing. So it seems targeted. I will not be alive to see that my name is clear. In any case, there was a lockdown, manhunt, on and on and on. So moving on to the other news, Ukraine-Israel funding request should be split, House Speaker. And this is Reuters, of course. So Mike Johnson says, and which was the problem with Kevin McCarthy, was the spending. And I said this is all about spending, is the fact is Ukraine, all spending shouldn't be bundled, because the reason they bundle spending is because unpopular spending is bundled with popular spending or populist spending. So I'm not against funding Israel. I'm against spending money. I'm a conservative. So, but I'm very much against spending money on Ukraine. And the biggest tranche of a Biden spending bill, over $105 billion, $60 billion goes to Ukraine, which I'm against. And then the New York Times frames the argument as Johnson faces the same spending dilemmas that plagued McCarthy. The newly installed Republican speaker opposed the bill to avert a government shutdown and has been against continued U.S. funding for Ukraine, as most of the electorate is. And now his job will be to continue both. That's not true. His job to accomplish both. Well, whatever. Caitlin Edmondson, she's awful. She was almost as bad as that Washington Post reporter. I'll just read the lead. Newly installed Speaker Mike Johnson is confronting a multitude of crises during his first days in office, chief among them a deadline just weeks away to avert a government shutdown and to urgent requests for President Biden for a behemoth $105 billion aid bill for Israel and Ukraine. And the border, purportedly. She didn't want to put that in there, right? Because it wouldn't be President Biden's bill. I think she's Asian. Let's see, Katie Edmondson. Yes. Yes, she is. The fact of the matter is here is that most of the electorate don't want to continue funding Ukraine. And nobody wants to fund war that's going to get us into World War III. And a matter of fact, I'm not for even defense funding. If defense funding is going to result in us bombing Syria, I'm not for that either. And the Democrats splinter over Israel as young, diverse left rages against Biden. This is your indoctrination, academic indoctrination coming home to roost. As a raw divide over the war ripples through liberal America, a coalition of young voters and people of color, because the people of color want a state of... I'm not going to go there. Is breaking with the president, raising new questions about his strength entering 2024. I told you, Biden is a career politician's deep state. He's the establishment. The establishment wants to spend money on war. Why? The problem is you don't understand politics, you young leftists. And people of color are breaking. Most of these young people couldn't find Palestine on a map or even know anything about British Palestine and what happened after World War I and after the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. If you look at the history, it almost matches Ukraine. For most of history, Ukraine was not an autonomous country. And the same thing with Palestine. All right. Going all the way back to when the Philistines had their own nation. But until British Palestine, they never really had a state. And most Arab countries, they're the whipping dog of most Arab countries. It's like the kid without a home. They don't want those people in their country. Should the Palestinians have a state? I guess. Sure. I mean, Israel got a state. But don't forget, British Palestine was founded for the very purpose to have a place for Jews to repatriate to. People are dumb. Washington Times has a couple articles here. Political infection. Senior senator says FBI tampered with the Biden family probes. Grassley is the one. Again, Grassley dropping intelligence bombs. U.S. attorney says probe. I don't understand why the Washington Times has to reload every time you hit the page. U.S. attorney says probe of Biden-Ukraine ties, $10 million bribe hamstrung by DOJ FBI. So basically what this spells out, I'm not going to go into the article itself, is that the FBI had informants in the Biden administration around Biden for years, knew about his double dealing, and refuse to prosecute. Fox News reports FBI receives criminal information from over 40 confidential sources on Joe Biden, Hunter, and James Grassley. So we all knew that, and that's why they suppressed the laptop, and the FBI was given the laptop that had damning information on it, Hunter Biden's laptop, and the FBI did nothing because they were protecting a politician. Unfortunately, that this was a lot of it was before Joe Biden was elected president. So unless he was scheduled to be president, he was a private citizen between the Obama administration for 4 years between Obama administration and his election as president. is that he was a private citizen. So he should have been arrested at that point. Even if you're protecting a sitting politician for national security reasons, when he became a private citizen, he should have been arrested. The Washington Post reports hearings begin as Trump critics attempt to kick him off ballots. They know these charges are unlikely to stick, even with some of the Trump camp people rolling on him. There's nothing there. There's no there there. And so they're trying to kick him off the ballot just in case the criminal investigations don't turn up anything, and probably they won't. Washington Post again. Sam Bankman-Fried dodges waffles during cross-examination at trial hearing. Something will happen here. Maybe he'll commit suicide in jail. They'll wheel out, you know, a body bag, and then, he'll disappear to Ecuador or something. Washington Post again. Millions work as content creators in official records. They barely exist. I don't really make any money at this. You know, I have other side gigs that I'm doing, but plenty of people do. But you know, it's part of the gig economy. What are you going to do? First of all, if you're on lockdown, what are you going to do to make money? I mean, that's my whole thing. I am sequestered here at home for the time being, for the most part. So that's why I decided to do this on a daily basis. Eyewitness News 7 reports residents on edge after anti-Semitic graffiti spray painted at Beverly Hills apartment complex. Whatever. People are haters. Like I said, don't have malice in your heart and don't ever act vindictively. Not saying you can't defend yourself, even if you do have to do so proactively, and I'm not necessarily a proponent for that either. I hate proactive policing. If no crime has been committed, there's no reason that the police or any investigative body should be sniffing around. I just think that's bullshit, but whatever. This is an opinion piece from the New York Post by John Podhoretz. Rather than protecting Jews, we're being told to hide again. And he just talks about college kids barricaded themselves inside a library in Greenwich Village as a mob of repugnant terrorist apologists. I'm not telling anybody to hide, dude. I say don't hide. I say defend yourself. If a mob comes after you, you could use your firearm. I think that's, you know, if you're in your home, particularly, it's justification. That's the reality of what's going on. I don't think, I think I'm big for individual liberties. You'd be able to defend yourself. We're under attack. You have to see all the vectors that's coming. It's mostly propaganda. And like I said, even with the main shooter, we don't know if it is this guy. I haven't seen any eyewitnesses reported in the media saying that was whatever this guy's name is, Card, not Andrew Card. That was the guy. That was the guy that did it. I don't see any evidence of a crime. Not saying a crime didn't commit. I'm saying I need to see evidence with my own eyes to be able to determine whether something actually happened or not. It could be all made up. Just like when people reported the news, anonymous people familiar with the matter say, who are those people familiar with the matter? So we don't know for sure. In any case, I say sheep dip. And Alex Jones isn't wrong. If you are on SSRIs or any kind of psychoactive medication and you're mentally ill, it's very easy for you to be influenced. Whether it's mind control, he reported hearing voices. Maybe he did hear voices. Maybe they were on frequency carrier waves beamed into his breath. You know, you put somebody on psychoactive drugs and they're already mentally ill, so they're easy to influence. And that's all these people. And the excuse is always going to be, oh, they were crazy and that's why they went and shot up. You know, but they had to do it with an AR-15. You know what I mean? That's the gun they want to ban. And why do they want to ban the AR-15? Readily available. It's a good weapon. And it can strike at long range. That's why they're not good. Most gun crimes are done with pistols, with handguns. You know, so they don't go after those necessarily. That was most gun, even mass shootings, it's mostly done. But they do it with an AR-15. Realistically, in an enclosed environment, a shotgun would probably be. But they know they would never have a chance to ban shotguns, so they don't go after that. So that's why all the mass shooters are using AR-15s, you know? I don't believe it. If they're on medication, and if they were in the armed forces, those are two red flags for me. And if they were using an AR-15, and of course, the pictures are released of them using an AR-15. You know, that's the, look how scary, because most people think it's an automatic weapon. That's like people go in there with a machine gun. Brr, brr. It's not, you have to pull the trigger each time. So, and you could do that with any weapon. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far into that. Probably went long enough here. Thanks for joining me once again. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment down below, share the podcast, visit my other website, libpop.org, learn about libertarian populism, find the audio podcast at rudysrevelation.com and on Substack. This time, I will see you next week. I just loaded up a video on my YouTube channel about Mitt Romney. Check that out. And I should put up the other one on Mitch McConnell later today or tomorrow. And I'm going to change around some things with a video. That's coming up next week. All right. See ya.
This is a conspiracy.
You can't handle the truth.
The New World Order.
Rudy's Revelation.